The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Reverend Srupabhu on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 30, Text 28, on Radhastami, August 25th, 2001, in Philadelphia.
Is the verse where Radharani is indicated obliquely by Shukadeva Goswami, because we'll talk about that. What's happened here is that Krishna has disappeared from the Rasa dance. And the gopis went to search for him in the forest, and had a strong feeling of separation from Krishna, practically on the verge of insanity. So they're enacting different pastimes of Krishna. So then it says, start back at text 24. While the gopis were thus imitating Krishna's pastimes and asking Vrindavan's creepers and trees where Krishna, the Supreme Soul, might be, they happened to see his footprints in a corner of the forest. The gopis said, "The marks of a flag, lotus, thunderbolt, elephant gold, barley corn, and so forth, on these footprints clearly distinguished him as belonging to that great soul, the son of Nanda Maharaj." The gopis began to follow Krishna's path, as shown by his many footprints. But when they saw that these prints were thoroughly intermixed with those of his dearmost consort, they became perturbed and spoke as follows. He said, "Here we see the footprints of some gopi who must have been walking along with the son of Nanda Maharaj. He must have put his arm on her shoulder, just as an elephant rests his trunk on the shoulder of an accompanying she-elephant." And then there's this verse. So, text 58. Translation. Certainly, this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Srila Prabhupada's purport, not Srila Prabhupada's purport actually, Vidyananda Maharaj, others. Purport, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti explains that the word Aravitaha refers to Srimati Radharani. He comments, "The sage Shukadeva Goswami has tried with all endeavor to keep her name hidden, but now it automatically shines forth from the moon of her mouth. That he has spoken her name is indeed her mercy, and thus the word Aravitaha is like the rumbling of a kettle drum sounded to announce for great good fortune. Although the gopis spoke as if jealous of Srimati Radharani, they were actually ecstatic to see that she had captured Sri Krishna. Srila Bhishma Chakravarti quotes the following detailed description of Srimati Radharani's footprints, because they're alongside Krishna's, as given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Sri Utsvala Nilama. At the base of the large toe of her left foot is the mark of a barley corn. Below that mark is a disc. Below the disc is an umbrella, and below the umbrella is a bracelet. A vertical line extends from the middle of her foot to the juncture of her large and second toes. At the base of the middle toe is a lotus. Below that is a flag with a banner. And below the flag is a creeper together with a flower. At the base of her small toe is an elephant goat, and upon her heel is a half moon. Thus there are 11 marks on her left foot. At the base of the large toe of her right foot is a conch shell, and below that a spear. At the base of the small toe of her right foot is a sacrificial altar, below that an earring, and below the earring a spear. Along the base of the second, third, fourth, and small toes is the mark of a mountain, below which is a chariot, and on the heel is a fish. Thus, altogether there are 19 distinguishing marks in the soles of Srimati Radharani's lotus feet. Anyarajito ununam bhagavan hari ishwaraha yanno vihaya govinda pritto yammanayat brahaha. Certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prayaskara Bhakti Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namana Namaste Sarasakti Bhagavan Charan Vishesha Sindhu Bhagavastachare Sitaram
he wants to keep it hidden. It's a confidential matter, actually, so that Radharani is not directly mentioned in Bhagavatam, but indirectly he says her name comes forth embedded in this word Aradhakama, means devoted. So her name actually comes from this word. Especially, she's especially devoted to Krishna. So I thought to discuss something about Radharani, I would turn to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Madhya 8, there's a discussion between the Lord and Ramananda Roy. And after Krishna is explained, the conversation turns to Krishna as the all-attractive. Then the conversation turns to Radharani. Ramananda Roy is actually talking to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is Madhya 8, starting with text 150. Sri Ramananda Roy then said, "I have thus briefly explained the original form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, let me describe the position of Srimati Radharani. Krishna has unlimited potencies which can be divided into three main parts. These are the spiritual potency, the material potency, and the marginal potency, which is known as the living entities, the chit shakti, maya shakti, jiva shakti. In other words, these are all potencies of God, internal, external, and marginal. Antaranga, Bahiranga, Tathasta. But the internal potency is the Lord's personal energy, called Swarup Shakti. and stands over the other two. It's above them. And then he quotes from the Vishnu Purana, "The original potency of Lord Vishnu is superior, spiritual, superior or spiritual, and the living entities actually belong to that spirit energy. But there is another energy called the material energy, and this third energy is full of ignorance." So then he goes back. You can't tell when I'm reading the translations when we switch back and forth from Bengali to Sanskrit. So now back in Bengali. Ramananda Roy having quoted that verse. Originally, Lord Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, the transcendental form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge, therefore his personal potency, the internal potency, has three different forms. Ladini is his aspect of bliss, Ananda. Sandini of eternal existence, the sub feature, and Samvit of cognizance or knowledge, which is also accepted as knowledge. And then from the Vishnu Purana, "My dear Lord, you are the transcendental reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Your pleasure potency, existence potency, and knowledge potency are actually all one internal spiritual potency. The conditioned soul, although actually spiritual, sometimes experiences pleasure, sometimes pain, and sometimes a mixture of pain and pleasure. This is due to his being touched by matter. But because you are above all material qualities, these are not found in you. Your superior spiritual potency is completely transcendental, and for you there is no such thing as relative pleasure, pleasure mixed with pain or pain itself." So then he continues. "The potency called Ladini gives Krishna transcendental pleasure. Through this pleasure potency, Krishna personally tastes all spiritual pleasure." So you see very systematically he's described the Lord has energy superior, spiritial, marginal, and material. And the superior potency, the spiritual potency, the Swarup Shakti, which is divided also into three, to correspond with Satchit and Ananda feature, the potency of bliss, knowledge, and existence. So that bliss potency, bliss producing potency, Ladini Shakti. Now we're talking about, this is the potency by which the Lord tastes all spiritual pleasure. "Lord Krishna tastes all kinds of transcendental happiness, although he himself is happiness personified. The pleasure relished by his pure devotees is also manifest by his pleasure potency." So not only does the pleasure potency give spiritual bliss to Krishna, but also the devotees. "The most essential part of this pleasure potency is love of Godhead, prema. Consequently, the explanation of love of Godhead is also a transcendental mellow, chitmaya rasa, full of pleasure." The essential part of love of Godhead, of prema, so the essential part of Vladini is prema. Now the essential part of prema is called Mahabhava, transcendental ecstasy. And that ecstasy is represented by Srimati Radharani. What it says is Mahabhava Rupa. She is the form of that ecstasy. In other words, we're not just dealing with abstract principles. Well, it is an abstract principle, but there's no difference between an abstract principle and the concretized embodiment of that principle in a transcendental person. It's our personal philosophy. So she is Mahabhava Rupa, Radha Thakurani. And then he quotes from Srila Rupa Goswami's Ujjvala Nilamani. Among the gopis of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani and another gopi, and is not mentioned here, are considered chief. But when we compare the gopis, it appears that Srimati Radharani is most important because her real feature expresses the highest ecstasy of love. That is Mahabhava Swarupa. The ecstasy of love experienced by the other gopis cannot be compared to that of Srimati Radharani. So he continues, the body of Srimati Radharani is a veritable transformation of love of God. So Swarup Deha, how do you say? Or actual body, or essential body, real body, huh? Swarup Deha is a transformation of love of God. She is the dearmost friend of Krishna. Prayasi Shrestha, the best of the dear friends of Krishna. And this is known throughout the whole world. And then he quotes from the Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmaya Rasata Pidavita Vista Virya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabhi Loka Eva Nivasatya Filatma Bhuta Govinda Madhi Purusha Tamaham Vijani. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Goloka, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Padini. Their companions are her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form and who are imbued and permeated with ever blissful spiritual rasa. That supreme ecstasy of Srimati Radharani is the essence of spiritual life. Chintamani Sara. Her only business is to fulfill all the desires of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is the topmost spiritual gem, Mahabhava Chintamani. And the other gopis, Lalita, Vishakha, and so on, are expansions of her spiritual body. Srimati Radharani's transcendental body is brilliant in luster and full of all transcendental fragrances. Lord Krishna's affection for her is like a perfumed massage. So Prabhupada says here, this description now, starting with the previous verse, Mahabhava Chintamani, is really based on Raghunath Das Goswami's Primamboja Maranda, which is a description of Radharani's transcendental body. Now, so I'll so to understand something is you'll see here it's a kind of full of metaphors and similes where various things concrete aspects of her body and decorations represent different spiritual emotions and feelings and qualities. But you should understand that when you're dealing with a spiritual body, what appears on the outside and what is on the inside are the same. Because the nature of a spiritual body has already been described in the Brahma Samhita. It's such that every part performs all the other functions, all the functions of all the other parts. See, for us, the soul is one thing, the mind is another thing, the subtle body, the gross body is another thing. So we have these divisions. But when there's a spiritual body like Radharani's or Krishna's or the other residents of Goloka Vrindavan, this difference is not there. So that there's no difference between the mind and the body and the soul and the mind. So that whatever the inner qualities of the mind are displayed as the outward ornaments of the body and so on. So it's not just a metaphor. So therefore it explains. This is why this is hard to understand, these descriptions. But anyway, it's not just poetry. So, for example, Srimati Radharani's transcendental body is brilliant in luster and full of all transcendental fragrances. Lord Krishna's affection for her is like a perfumed massage. And so Prabhupada says, Sugandhi Udvartana refers to a paste made of several perfumes and fragrant oils. This paste is massaged all over the body, and in this way the body's dirt and perspiration are removed. Srimati Radharani's body is automatically perfumed. You don't need anything additional, actually. But when her body is massaged with the scented paste of Krishna's affection, her entire body is doubly perfumed and made brilliant and lustrous. So this is an example. So now we'll continue reading this description. Srimati Radharani takes her first bath in the shower of the nectar of compassion. Karunya Amrita. As she takes her second bath in the nectar of youth, Tarunya Amrita. The middle bath, midday, first bath, morning bath, and midday bath. Prabhupada says, Srimati Radharani first smears her body with the paste of affection for Krishna. She then takes her bath in the water of mercy. After passing the Pauganda age from 5 to 10 years, Srimati Radharani first appears as mercy. The second bath is taken at noon in the water of Tarunyamrita, or the nectar of youth. This is the actual expression of her new youthfulness. Continues. After her midday bath, Radharani takes another bath in the nectar of bodily luster, Lavanya Amrita. And she puts on the garment of shyness, Lajja, which is her black silk sari. Shama is very dark blue, almost black. Over and above the other baths, the bath taken in the afternoon is taken in the nectar of full beauty, Lavanya. This nectar represents the personal qualities of beauty and luster. Thus there are three baths in different kinds of water. Radharani then puts on two garments, a lower and upper garment. The upper garment is pinkish, to be described in the next verse, and is her affection and attraction for Krishna. And the lower garment, a blackish silk sari, is her shyness. So I continue. Srimati Radharani's affection for Krishna is her upper garment, which is pinkish in color. She then covers her breast with another garment composed of affection and anger toward Krishna. Srimati Radharani's personal beauty is the reddish powder known as kumkuma. Her affection for her associates is sandalwood pulp, and the sweetness of her smile is camphor. All these combined together are smeared over her body. Conjugal love, Ujjvala Rasa, Conjugal love for Krishna is an abundance of musk, and with that musk, her whole body is decorated. Craftiness and covered anger constitute the arrangement of her hair. The quality of anger, due to jealousy, is the silk garment covering her body. These are all the different emotions that help spice and flavor her ecstatic love for Krishna. They're not like material reflection of these things. Her attachment for Krishna is the reddish color of betel nuts on her brilliant lips. Her double dealings and loving affairs constitute the black ointment around her eyes, this kajal. The ornaments decorating her body are the blazing ecstasies of goodness. Yeah. Sudipta Sattika Bhava. In other words, Sattika Bhava. There's one kind of ecstatic symptoms that appear on the body, involuntary ecstatic responses. Sudipta, they're very bright. Sudipta. That's the ornaments of her body are actually the symptoms of ecstasy. And constantly existing ecstasy, Stayi Bhava, headed by jubilation. All these ecstasies are the ornaments all over her body. Also ornamenting her body are the 20 kinds of ecstatic symptoms, beginning with Kila Kinshita. Her transcendental qualities constitute the flower garland. Hanging in fullness over her body. Now there's the 20 different moods headed by Kila Kinshita are described as follows. First of all, in connection with the body, there are bhava, ecstasy, hava, gestures, hila, negligence. In relation to the self, there are shobha, which is beauty, kanti, luster, deepti, brilliance, madhurya, sweetness, pragalbhata, impudence, audarya, magnanimity, and dhairya, patience. And in relation to nature, there are lila, pastimes, vilasa, enjoyment, vichitti, breaking off, and vibhrama, puzzlement. Then, there are no English equivalents for the word lila kinshita, mutaita, and kutamita. So whatever they are, they're there. Srimati Radharani's flower garden consists of her qualities and is divided into mental, verbal, and bodily parts. Her attitude of forgiveness and mercy is all mental. Her talks, which are very pleasing to the ear, are verbal. The bodily qualities are age, beauty, luster, and grace. Go on. The tilak of good fortune is on her beautiful, broad forehead. Saubhagya tila. Her various loving affairs are a gem. And her heart is the locket. Srimati Radharani's gopi friends are her mental activities, which are concentrated on the pastimes of Sri Krishna. She keeps her hand on the shoulder of a friend who represents youth. Srimati Radharani's bedstead is pride itself, and it is situated in the abode of her bodily aroma. She is always seated there, thinking of Krishna's association, Krishna Sangha. Srimati Radharani's earrings are the name, fame, and qualities of Lord Krishna. The glories of Lord Krishna's name, fame, and qualities are always inundating her speech. Srimati Radharani induces Krishna to drink the honey of the conjugal relationship She is therefore engaged in satisfying all the lusty desires of Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a mine filled with valuable jewels of love for Krishna. Her transcendental body is complete with unparalleled spiritual qualities. And then there's a quotation, a nice verse from Sri Govinda Lilamrita, a kind of a dialogue, question and answer. Ka Krishna Sha Pranaya Jani Bhu Srimati Radhikarika Kashasya Prayasya Nupamaguna Radhikarika Na Chanya Jainyam Keshe Vishi Karalata Nishturantvam Kuchesya Vansha Pujjaya Prabhapati Hare Radhikarika Na Chanya. If one asks about the origin of love of God, the answer is that the origin is in Srimati Radhika Radharani alone. This Radhikaika means Radharani alone. Radhika Eka. Who is the most dear friend of Krishna? The answer again is Srimati Radharani alone, no one else, Chanya, and no one else. Radhika Eka Chanya. Srimati Radharani's hair is curly, her two eyes are always restless, moving to and fro, and her breasts are firm. Since all transcendental qualities are manifested in Srimati Radharani, she alone is able to fulfill all the desires of Krishna, no one else. And then he goes on to say, even Satyabhama, one of the queens of Sri Krishna, desires a fortunate position and excellent qualities of Srimati Radharani. All the gopis learn the art of dressing from Srimati Radharani, and even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi, and the wife of Lord Shiva, Parvati, desire her beauty and qualities. Indeed, Arundhati, the celebrated chaste wife of Vashishta, also wants to imitate the chastity and religious principles of Srimati Radharani. Even Lord Krishna himself cannot reach the limit of the transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani. How then can an insignificant living entity count them? So that's the description that Ramananda Roy gives about Radharani, the internal pleasure potency of Krishna. But also, I mean, she is just like Krishna is the origin of all Vishnu Tattva expansions. So Radharani is the origin of all the parallel expansions of Lakshmi and so on. And just as Shiva is a kind of reflection of Krishna for operating in the world, so also his consort Durga is Chayeva Yasya Guranati Bhakti. She's a like a shadow also. In the Radha Sahasranama, which comes from the Radha Pancharatra, it begins by having Parvati asking Lord Shiva to describe the glories of Radha. And she asked this question, how is it that the person by whom the universe is created and destroyed, meaning Radharani, has the nature of a gopi? Someone so big, having a gopi means a pretty humble position, milkmaid, cowherd girl. She wants to know this. So this is because, of course, that a number of reasons why Krishna is considered to be the topmost of all forms of the Lord. and yet at the same time seems to be devoid of all majesty, sort of a humble position, a cowherd. It's like you see in villages in India today, boys do this thing. It's not a big position at the top of a corporation or anything like that, you know, a humble enterprise. Why he has this position. Of course, we know that this is Krishna's very exclusive and very private activities in which his madhurya, his sweetness and beauty overpower his majesty, so that as Krishna he can enjoy so many different kinds of relationships that are not possible when his greatness and majesty is predominant. So that's why he's considered actually the highest. So similarly, Radharani is the highest. Then she also expands as the goddess of fortune and the queens of Dwarka. The gopis, as it mentions here, they're also her expansions by which she is able to her various desires to please Krishna. Krishna's Kaviraj gives a long discussion how prema that Radharani embodies, how it is different from lust in the material world. Lust in the material world is a kind of inverted reflection of prema. And he says that what we call kama, the word kama or lust, which fuels all material sexual affairs, is always characterized by a desire to please one's own senses. One's own senses become eager to be satisfied, and the other, the partner, becomes used as an instrument for one's own satisfaction. This is always there in the material world for one. So some amount of selfishness is always there. But prema is the opposite of this. It is the desire purely to satisfy the senses of the other without any consideration of one's own separate happiness. So Radharani and the gopis, Prabhupada puts it like this, they have no other way of experiencing happiness except by seeing that Krishna is satisfied in all respects. So but the nature is, they have, although they have, it's a little paradoxical, because although Radharani and her associates, they have no desire for their own pleasure. Krishnadas Kaviraj says that when they are doing things like putting on makeup and earrings and so on, it is not a kind of vanity for their own satisfaction, but they're only simply thinking, I'm dressing myself this way to give pleasure to Krishna. And so this is how they simply forget about their own happiness, and just when Krishna is pleased, they're pleased. That's their only source of pleasure. So although they don't want to their own happiness, nevertheless they discover that the happiness they feel when Krishna is satisfied turns out to be, according to Krishna's Kaviraj, 10,000 times greater than the happiness Krishna feels. So it is not that there is no happiness on their part, but paradoxically, the more they, the more the nature of devotional service is, the more one actually forgets about one's own independent happiness and simply attends to the pleasure of Krishna, automatically one feels transcendental bliss. And the more we forget about our own pleasure of the senses and just worry about Krishna's sense gratification, the more our happiness increases. And I guess the opposite is true. Somehow or other we forget about Krishna's pleasure and tends to our own, then our miseries begin. So in this way we are free from any kind of lust. And the nature of the activities between Radha and Krishna, they cannot be understood or entered into. So this, you can't understand them empathetically or sympathetically or actually take part in them as long as one self is being conducted by modes of material nature and material desires. So there's a famous statement in this Bhagavatam that says that the pastimes between Krishna and the Vrajavati, the gopis, are such a nature that anyone who, with faith, Sharandita, who's endowed with faith, who hears and chants them, that they will bestow upon him a devotion to Krishna, and also it will very quickly drive away kamahrit-rogam, lust, which is a cardiac disease, a disease of the heart. Kritroga means disease. Kritroga, the disease, the affliction of the heart, the affliction of the human heart. The material world is kama. It's our disease. And that disease, hearing about Krishna and the gopis, if it's done properly, Sharangita, dhira, by a person who's sober, means is not being conducted by, inebriated by material qualities, by dhira, then be able to actually appreciate the transcendental nature of Krishna's Ujjvala Rasa pastimes. And the result is that whatever traces of lust may be there in the heart, they go away. They go away. It has this antiseptic effect. Because actually the real thing is these are the original spiritual source of what the material world appears as sexual desire and so on. So if you have the original, the shadow, the imitation disappears. So this is all being conducted really under the management of Srimati Radharani. She's the expert in satisfying Krishna's desires in this way. And all devotional service comes under her administration. I want to read now from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He has Radhashtaka, Sri Radhashtaka, songs in glorification of Srimati Radharani. Although it says nine songs, it's called Ashtaka, which means eight. Why is that? Oh, there's a supplementary poem. Okay. Eight and a supplementary poem. Okay. This is Radhashtaka. I read the English. He who has failed to carefully worship the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika, which are the abode of all auspiciousness, who has not taken shelter in the transcendental abode known as Vrindavan, which is decorated with the beautiful lotus flower named Radha, who in this life is not associated with the devotees of Radhika, who are very wise and whose devotion for Radha is very deep, how will such a person ever experience the bliss of bathing in the ocean of Lord Shyam's sublime lotus? Please understand this most attentively. Srimati Radhika is the teacher of the mellows of conjugal love. Ujjvala Rasa Acharya. She's the Acharya Ujjvala Rasa. Srimati Radhika is the teacher of the mellows of conjugal love. The pure love between Radha and Madhava is meant to be discussed and contemplated. He who cherishes the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani with great care obtains the lotus feet of Krishna, which are like priceless jewels. Without taking shelter of the lotus feet of Radha, one can never meet Krishna. The Vedic scriptures declare that Krishna is the property and maidservants. The scriptures declare that Krishna is the property of the maidservants of Sri Radha. Having abandoned wealth, followers, wives, sons, and friends, and having given up materialistic activities and speculative knowledge, one should become absorbed in the sweetness of service to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. This is Bhakti Vinod's solemn declaration. Next song. Beyond the Viraja River lies the pure spiritual sky, or the Vaikuntha world, and above that Vaikuntha realm lies the divine abode known as Goloka Vrindavan. The land of Vrindavan is made of spiritual gems and is therefore likened to a mine of fully cognizant and blissful jewels. This transcendental realm is certainly a wonderful and extraordinary sight. Within that abode where everything is fully conscious resides Lord Krishna, who is compared to a charming tamal tree, which is considered to be the best of trees and possesses color like that of a sapphire. Upon that blackish tree has appeared a beautiful golden creeper. Her name is Mahabhava, due to being the essence of the pleasure-giving Ladini potency. She is the conqueror of all realms, the supreme purifier, and the enchantress of Sri Krishna, who is himself the enchanter of all the worlds. She is also known as Radha, whose friends, headed by Lalita, are compared to her leaves and flowers. The creeper, meeting with all her friends, firmly embraced that blackish tree named Govinda, and having satisfied his heart, remained there in great ecstasy. At the touch of the creeper, the tamal tree blooms, but without her embrace, it can no longer exist. The creeper, without the company of that tamal tree, is also unable to live. Therefore, she always prays for their meeting. Bhaktivinoda desires nothing else but the meeting of this divine couple, Radha and Krishna. Next song. Srimati Radharani is the crest jewel of all young women. She is the beloved daughter of King Vrishabhan and is very fond of wearing blue-colored garments. Her very pleasing complexion conquers the beauty of cut gold. Her locks of hair are nicely arranged, and she is the life and soul of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani, who is very learned in the science of rasa, is artfully adorned with jewels, nicely decorated with tilak, and covered with a beautiful corset. Her breasts are adorned with valuable gems, and her eyes are anointed with black collyrium. Thus she appears as sweetness personified. Give up everything and become a maidservant at the lotus feet of Radharani. Just worship her and serve her with great care and attention. Beholding her effulgent rays of beauty, Rati, Gauri, and Leela, abandon all her pride. At her feet, the good fortune of Sachi, Lakshmi, and Satya is defeated. The gopis, led by Chandravali, are all staunch competitors of Radharani for Krishna's favor. Yet they all accept their defeat by Srimati Radharani, for she alone controls Krishna. Thakur Bhaktivinoda, a resident of Godru, always endeavors for the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, the most beloved of Lord Hari. Srimati Srimati Radharani is the crest jewel of all amorous young maidens who take pleasure in the transcendental mellows. She is a beautiful swan in the waters of love for Krishna, a transcendental wish-fulfilling creature on the family tree of Maharaj Vrishabhanu, and the source of all the goddesses of fortune. Around her waist, she wears a red silken cloth on which tiny bells are strung, and hanging down on her breast is a lovely necklace of pearl. In this way, she looks very charming and beautiful. Srimati Radharani's bodily luster is very beautiful, like a golden whorl of the best of lotus flowers. She embodies the sweet, immortal nectar of adolescence, and her sweet smiling is mixed with the fragrant camphor of new youthfulness. She is very faithful to Lord Krishna. Seeing that Krishna, the supremely mischievous son of Nanda, has arrived in the outskirts of the Vrindavan forest and is returning from tending the cows, Radharani offers her prayers to him with deep affection, her eyes agitated with fear. Srimati Radharani is the life and soul of all the women of Vraj and is very dear to Mother Yashoda. Due to the affection of beautiful Lalita Devi, Radha's spiritual form has fully blossomed like a lotus, and she displays beautiful and graceful limbs. Radharani, accompanied by Vishakha, picks forest flowers and strings together a Vajayanti flower garland for Krishna. Radharani is the best of all the gopis, is always situated on the chest of the Lord, and is the most beloved of Krishna. Moving swiftly at the soft sound of the flute, and finding in the bowers of Vraj her beloved Krishna, the best of dancing actors, the chaste Radha with smiling eyes turns her face downward in shyness and scratches her ear. When the breeze, which is scented with the fragrance of lotus flowers, makes the waters of Radhakund very cool, then in the warmth of the summer, in those cooling waters, Radha, along with all her girlfriends, satisfies the beloved Krishna, the hero of Gokula. Bhaktivinoda says to Rupa and Raghavan, clasping their lotus feet, O Goswamis, when will you bestow your mercy upon me and give me such transcendental service to Radharani as this? For such service is the wealth of the truly wise. The next song, the fifth song, again goes over the same description of Radharani on the Ujjvala Nilamana. Raghunath Das Goswami's, not Ujjvala Nilamana, but by Raghunath Das Goswami. Srimati Radharani's transcendental form has arisen out of the Mahabhava Chintamani. She is the decoration of Lord Gopinath and is beautifully effulgent. She takes her first bath in the shower of the nectar of compassion. She takes her second bath in the nectar of youth. And her third bath is taken in the nectar of bodily luster. She thus conquers the beauty of even the goddess of fortune and is endowed with the quality of chastity. Srimati Radharani wears the silken sari of modesty, and on her forehead she wears the kumkum sar of loveliness. Her body is decorated with musk, and she wears a necklace that is adorned with the 9 ecstatic jewels of shivering in the body, flowing of tears in the eyes, standing of the hairs of the body, dancing and singing, being stunned, perspiring, faltering of the voice, inactivity and madness. So this is the same description, but a little elaboration here. She Radha wears a beautiful flower garland which represents her 25 transcendental qualities. And she is clothed in the silken cloth of emotional ecstasies. In her loving relationship with Krishna, there is occasional agitation caused by him. At such moments, she sometimes manifests a divine anger, sometimes suppresses it. Covered indignation constitutes her braided and ornamented hair, and she is radiant with the tilak of auspicious fortune. The name and glories of Krishna are the delight of her earrings. Srimati Radharani's lips have become very red from chewing pan, and the black delirium of cunningness is clearly visible on her eyes. Her smile is like sweet camphor, and she's always fond of joking. She sits upon a bed of pride in a palace of fame and glory, and a garland of ecstatic love is hung around her neck. Her breasts are covered by a bodice of anger and love. She plays on a lute called Kachapi Ravini, and she conquers the beauty of Chandravati. But her form is very graceful and slender. She always places her playful lotus-like hands on the shoulder of two of her friends, and she distributes the nectar of Lord Shyam to all. O Rupa and Raghunath, your good fortune is the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika. This Bhakti Vinod, who is very fallen and lowly, prays at your lotus feet with a straw of the street between his teeth. O Goswami Prabhu, please bestow upon me a particle of the nectarian service of Srimati Radharani. Then there's a list here, a note. It mentions her garland is made of 25 transcendental qualities. So here are the 25 transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani. 1. She is sweetness personified. 2. She is a fresh young girl. 3. Her eyes are always moving. Restless eyes. She's always brightly smiling. She possesses all auspicious marks on her body. 6. She can agitate Krishna by the flavor of her person. 7. She is expert in the art of singing. 8. She can speak very nicely and sweetly. 9. She is expert in presenting feminine attractions. 10. She is modest and gentle. 11. She is always very merciful. 12. She is transcendentally cunning. 13. She knows how to dress nicely. 14. She's always shy. 15. She's always respectful. 16. She is always patient. 17. She's very brave. 18. She is enjoyed by Krishna. 19. She is always situated on the highest devotional platform. 20. She is the abode of love of the residents of Gokula. 21. She can give shelter to all kinds of devotees. 22. She is always affectionate to superiors and inferiors. 23. She is always obliged by the dealings of her associates. 24. She is the greatest among Krishna's girlfriends. 25. She always keeps Krishna under her control. The next 6. In the forest of Braj, on the bank of the Jamuna, there are beautiful thrones bedecked with flowers. The beautiful creepers and fruit trees in those forests give satisfaction to the eyes. And upon these trees and creepers sit many birds singing sweetly. A breeze from the Malaya hills blows gently, and a swarm of bumblebees fly about in search of honey. At that time, the full moon of the spring season continuously distributes its cooling rays out of respect and love for Lord Krishna. At such a suitable time as this, the supreme enjoyer, Lord Krishna, who holds a flute, begins his vast dance. Rejoicing in the midst of millions of lovely cowherd maidens, Lord Krishna dances with Radharani. Radha, the enchantress of Madhava, sings very beautiful songs. Steals away the minds of all living beings throughout the three worlds. The chaste Radharani enchants both the moving and non-moving living beings and defeats the pride of beautiful Chandravati. After agitating the mind of Rajakishore by her various displays of love and affection, Radharani disappears from the scene. Bhaktivinoda perceives some calamity, because now, in the absence of Srimati Radhika, the rasa dance has come to an end. So 7, millions of lovely Kalpa damsels are unable to please the mind of Madhava, although endeavoring very hard to do so. That is, they, in the absence of Radharani, they cannot please him. The flute song calls the name of Radhika, and Lord Shamsundar calls out into the night, come here, Radha. When he goes in search of Srimati Radharani, at that time the rasa dance comes to a halt. In the groves of Braj, Krishna weeps and calls out, O beloved Radha, please appear before me and save my life. Embracing Radhika in a lonely grove, Krishna regains his life and soul and is relieved. Krishna says to Radharani, without you, where is the question of a rasa dance? I live in Braj only because of you. Weeping at the lotus feet of this Radhika, Bhakti Vinod says, O Srimati Radharani, count me among your personal associates. Make me your maidservant, and please keep me as your own. 8. If the desire for the worship of Radharani does not come about, then worship of Krishna is simply useless. Just as one never perceives the sun without the sunlight, so I do not care to regard Madhava without Radha. One who worships Krishna alone is imperfect in this knowledge, and one who disrespects Srimati Radharani is simply conceited and proud. You should never associate with such a person if you at all desire the delight and amorous pastimes of Braj to appear within your heart. If one considers oneself to be a maidservant of Srimati Radharani, then such a person very quickly meets Sri Krishna, the Lord of Gokula, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva. Narada Muni, the personified Vedas, and Lakshmi Devi honor and worship the dust of Radharani's lotus feet. The Vedic scriptures declare that Uma, Rama, Satya, Sachi, Chandra, Rukmini are all expansions of Srimati Radharani. Bhakti Vinod, whose only wealth is the service of Srimati Radharani, humbly begs to be situated at her lotus feet. Then there's Parishishta, a supplementary one. O my tongue, who are overwhelmed with the desire for material enjoyment, please hear my instructions. Always remain deeply absorbed in drinking the nectarian lovely mellows of the divine and beautiful names of Radha and Krishna. The name of Srimati Radharani is ever beautiful and is divine ambrosia. Radhika's name is also very sweet and enchanting and is the abode of complete fulfillment and satisfaction. With great care, we should eagerly mix and blend this ambrosial name of Radhika in the wonderful, sweet condensed milk of the name of Krishna. Now add into that mixture the sweet fragrance of love and affection, which is both cool and delightful. With great joy and ecstasy, drink this nectar both night and day. No longer will there remain on the tongue a thirst for mundane enjoyment, for these wonderful transcendental mellows will fulfill all your desires. At the lotus feet of Raghunath Das Goswami, Bhakti Vinod begs for delight and ecstatic rapture in the hearing and chanting of the divine names of Radha and Krishna. So this last one is Bhakti Vinod's instructions on how to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if you can. You take, is a recipe, huh? you drink this nectar, then your tongue will lose all taste for material enjoyment. The medicine also, which is a combined of two things. The name of Radha, and you mix it with the he calls it Piyusha. Piyusha. divine ambrosia. You mix this with sweetened condensed milk of the name of Krishna, stir them together, and then you add to that love and affection, your own love. That. And then you drink this. It'll do the job. It's nice. So, any questions? Comments?
Yeah.
I can't think of anyone that has that designation. I can't think. Balaram also has his consort, Devati, but she's also an expansion of Radharani, but she's not designated as first, so far as I know. I've never heard anything. Well, could be her expansion. You see, the word, I don't have it with me now, but there's an explanation of the Maha Mantra by Gopala Guru Goswami, the disciple of a Kreshwara Pandit. And sort of every Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, or Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, they have like a different meaning. And so Hare sometimes is Hari, sometimes is Hara. Hari means one who takes away. One who takes away bad fortune, obstacles, and spiritual enjoyment. Hara means one who steals away the mind of Krishna, for example, as the name of Radharani. So Rama depends. But Rama is also Radhika Ramana Rama, he explains. So Rama is also Krishna. Radhika Ramana Rama. Krishna was the enjoyer of Radhika. Radhika Ramana Rama. Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, usually, different people chant Hare Krishna with different things in mind, but to somebody at this stage of intensity and in conjugal love of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he's only chanting Radha and Krishna. Okay. Anything else? Okay, in about 8:30, we're having Guru Puja. Or sometime around then, and then we'll then we are good to the DVs at 9. Okay. Shri Radha Shri Ki Jai.